My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
Welcome back to another episode of Big Money Energy, where we talk to super successful people and self-made people to find out exactly how they did it, how they went from nothing to something. Today, I'm joined by the ultimate jack of all trades. You know him by his name if you've ever listened to any rap song ever, Ben Baller. Ben Baller with the Chains, that is who is here today. Incredible story. And if you're not familiar with him, he's also a music producer. He's a jeweler. He's a podcaster. I mean, let's just use the word mogul, honestly. He is everything to everybody. And his story of success is really unconventional, which is why I needed him to tell it on the pod for all you guys. We discuss his origins in music, coming up in LA, how he managed to piss off Dr. Dre, that story is ridiculous, after blowing his first $1 million check, and how he managed to become hip-hop's most sought after jeweler. This is one of my favorites. Let's get into it. Welcome to another episode. You have no idea how excited I am for today's guest. He is the entrepreneur, businessman, and the go-to jewelry designer for A-plus celebrities like Drake, Justin Bieber, ASAP Rocky, and I think everybody else. He's established himself as an insanely creative entrepreneur, which is really, really, really important to me, influencing fashion, style, sports, and music industries effortlessly. He's a legend among some of the biggest artists in the world. And if you don't know, he co-founded If & Co Jewelry in 2004, creating diamond encrusted jewelry for a ton of high profile clients. Now, listen, I don't have an iced out chain just yet, but after today, I might have to get like a Sirhan one. And I think that would look insane. I just like rock it over the suit. I'd be the only real estate broker in New York City who had that. And that's how maybe I could stand out, right? People be like, oh, that guy with the great, oh, the chain. Yeah, no, we know who he is. Yeah, he sold us that place. Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know. Maybe you guys could tell me what you think. Honestly, he is a taste maker. This is the first time I've ever used that word on this podcast. So here to discuss how it all started and how he got to where he is and his upcoming projects, please welcome Ben baller.
Appreciate you guys having me. That was a hell of an intro. I don't know if I can cuss. I'm being careful because I got a potty mouth. But no, that was probably the best intro out of any show I've ever done in my life.
Can you talk a bit about your decision to go Ben Baller when you said, you know what, I'm going to put Humble in the backseat. That's not going to be my business. That's not going to be my MO. And was that something that you always felt like as a kid? Were you 3 years old and you're like, this toy, I'm going hard?
You know what? I think I've just been a big mouth since Show and Tell Fridays, you know, since I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. I've always had a large personality. And
where were you when you were five?
So I was in Koreatown, Los Angeles. Become super gentrified now. You know, there was definitely no high rises. Anthony Bourdain was not trying to come through there then. By the way, I don't know, you know, I mean, if people do know that, but I was one of the people that had brought him over there for when he did the Koreatown special. But, you know, Koreatown was, you know, it's kind of close to the hood. It's the neighboring city to almost downtown LA. It was a decent part of town, but Koreatown has just gotten so big. But what people don't realize is, like, there's a lot of gang activity that was going on there. There was a lot of robberies. It was, again, it was not a Korean majority populated area. It was just a rough area. And, you know, the Night Stalker had been through there with Ramirez, and just, it was a lot of crazy shit that was going on then. And, you know, I was going to public school, which is very strange, is my parents came here as immigrants. I always told people, like, my mom came here with like $200 and blah, blah. And people were like, wait, maybe in the 60s, that wasn't that much money. I mean, that was a kind of a lot of money, wasn't it? And my sister's like, no, your mom came here with like $20. And, you know, there's stories that I've heard. When we were poor, that my dad got pulled over for whatever, a ticket. He had to do like 2 days in jail and because he couldn't afford to pay the citation and certain things. And they lived in a garage. When I was born, I'm the youngest of three, things started getting better for my mother. My mother was the original entrepreneur, but really from hard work. You know, now people work smarter. She was smart in the fact that she was able to get into the garment industry and be a dress contractor early. With that being said, I was the wild kid that was the latchkey kid at home, you know, whatever. My brother's 9 years older than me. My sister is 5, 6 years older than me. So they were kind of further in school. You know, I wasn't with them in high school and things like that. So my brother, which some people look at like, damn, dude, you know, like when people meet my brother or sister, they don't believe that we're related. When they kind of look closely, they're like, oh, you know. And, you know, my sister being an enormous Hollywood stylist, she'll meet people that I work with, whether it be Denzel or Justin Bieber. And I'll be like, that's really your brother? Like, I thought he was raised by wolves, you know. So growing up, I grew up in public schools and I got kicked out of a lot of schools, whereas my brother went to Andover. He went to a private schools, and my sister went to a school called Concord Academy. So they both went to boarding schools in the East Coast. And then, you know, my brother and sister both went to prestigious colleges and everything else. And it just, I just was a different guy. I got arrested for the first time at 8 years old. So
at eight, did you say eight?
Yeah, at eight, man.
How do you get arrested stealing, when you're eight? What'd you do?
So I was stealing ColecoVision. If you remember ColecoVision, like, you know, it was like Sega, right? Stealing video games from Sears in a parking lot. There, it was an outdoor parking lot. And we got away with it, me and my cousin. I decided to go back because I wanted to get an adapter. And it became grand theft larceny. And I just made up all kinds of stories. So that, you know, and then finally, they were like, hey, listen, you know, your parents are going to be worried about you. You know, I'm sure they're worried, boom. And I'm in a jail cell cracking jokes with all these adults. I'm like, you know, I'm a little kid. And like, what the hell did you do in here? You know, I see a bunch of people. And I wasn't scared, you know, because I grew up in such a seedy part of town. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's where it started. I've always just been kind of like a, just not humble. You know, even if I had no money, whatever it may be, and just, I like to talk shit.
Do you think that attitude, though, of not being humble and being incredibly confident, even when you didn't have money, even when you were young, helped you propel yourself to where you wanted to get to because you were already being that guy? Like a big thing for me, and I tell people a lot, is, you know, when I came to the city, I also lived in Koreatown, not Korean, but I lived in Koreatown on 31st Street and Broadway. And I was the only white guy in the building I lived in, right? I lived with a bunch of other Koreans and it was awesome. It was great. I knew that one day I was going to be successful and I just projected that image and I acted like that guy. And I knew that I will become that guy because I know what the future is. I could tell the future. It kind of sounds like you were in the same headspace.
Nah, for sure. You know, at a certain point, you know, like I definitely had, you know, people always say just the tiresome thing. Know your worth, know your value, blah, blah. I mean, without saying so much, you know, I would talk my shit and people be like, yo, relax, man. You live in a one-bedroom apartment, you know what I mean? With four people in there. My brother was already gone by the time I was kind of like you know, before I was even a teenager. By the time I was 10, my brother was out of the house, right? I mean, he was in boarding school before that, but I didn't get to kind of grow up with my brother only during certain parts of time. But I always just talked shit. I always felt like, look, man, I'm going to make it. I don't care what you guys say, no matter what. You know, when I was working at Burger King, it's hard to vision that later. But I was like, nah, man, whatever it takes, it's just going to happen. You know, that another term that I can't stand, but it's like, you know, closed mouths don't get fed. It's true to a certain point. Like, I wasn't going to let, you know, be like, oh, let things happen naturally. Let things come to you. No, fuck that. I'm going to them, right? You know, no doors really opened up for me. You know, I had to build a door. I had to knock it down. You name what it is. I saw a crack. I'm busting it open.
Do you credit a lot to your mom for giving you that entrepreneurial spirit and just seeing how hard she worked when you were a little kid that just showed you that you could do absolutely anything if you put the work in?
Definitely. One thing my mom would say is, even though my brother was a genius above Mensa, that's how he got into school. There was a lot of financial aid with Andover. What's crazy is my brother was always being told what to do, going to boarding schools, and before that, like sort of a military school, and just the way to be a man and blah, blah. Whenever he came back home, he'd wake up at 10 a.m. or whatever and go to sleep. My mom would be like, I'm so sick of this shit. You know, my mom would wake up at 4 a.m. every day and get to it. She's like, no, I can't. You know, if you knew what life was like in Korea, you know, we're so poor, I can never go back to that. And I saw my mom go from one sewing machine to like 5 to 20 to 100 and be like, wow, people have a philosophy where like, have no expectations and you'll never be disappointed. Like, fuck you. I have high expectations. You know what I mean? I'm aiming for 17 galaxies past, you know, Mars or wherever. And
yes.
And I'll land on Jupiter if I fail, you know, and that's just why I always was with it. And, you know, the whole thing, you get knocked down 20 times, come up 21 times. I came up like 35 times, you know, like, yo, it's just, and I think at a certain point, I really never looked back after like 2004.
Is that when you started Ifrico?
It was also the year I became a millionaire. Yeah.
What were your jobs leading up to 2004?
I mean, as a kid, I worked at a martial arts store that sold weapons. I think I was obsessed with weapons at a young age. That's terrible, right? I'm sure this is a family-filled podcast. But I worked a paper route. Again, I always talk about I worked at Burger King, you know, minimum wage, $3.75 an hour. I worked at Subway. I worked at my mom's shop, and I thought my mom would give me, you know, like some sort of a break, you know. And working at her factory sucked. That's probably one of the jobs. I probably would rather work at Burger King 10 times more than work with my mom.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How did you know that jewelry was going to be in your future? We haven't talked about it at all so far. It's funny. It's like, it wasn't like a thing when you were a kid, you know, you like shiny things.
Yeah, I love shiny things, you know, watching Run DMC and Eric B. Rakim having big gold chains and stuff. It's just something, you know, you see. I talk about this moment quite a bit. When Dr. Dre gave me a check, my first big check, he pulled me to the side and I was like, yo, what's up? And he's like, hey man, don't be stupid. And I was like, well, hold on. Why are you talking to me? Why don't you talk to all the other guys? Why don't you talk to Butter and Stu and all them and you know, and Mel and all the other guys? And he's like, I don't care about them. They from the ghetto and blah, blah, whatever. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm from the ghetto, bro. He's like, you're not from the real ghetto, man. Look, man, you're my Asian. And he said this one thing. He said, hey, man, making $1 million is easy. Keeping $1 million is not easy. Yeah. But he said, you know, I was like, shit, making $1 million is easy. Keeping it isn't. Okay. All right. It went in one ear, out the other. That day, and I remember I left at 4 o'clock, barely make it just to put the check in my account, boom. And I remember by 6 p.m. I bought an M3 BMW, right? And I also was able to go get a Rolex. Come to the studio next day. There's a lot of nice cars at the studio, a lot of nice cars. For some reason, he always gets to the studio later in the day, like 3, 4, 5 o'clock. I'm there maybe at 10 a.m., 12. But at priority, you know, you got to get there early because of the East Coast time and everything. You know, I hear Dre like, hey man, whose BMW is that over there? I'm like, there's Range Rovers and, you know, trucks and everything with rims. And he's like, whose BMW is that? Don't tell me that's Ben Yang's. He wouldn't call me Ben Baller, by the way. And Dre's like, don't tell me that's Ben Yang's car. And so he comes in, he goes, hey, man, that's a nice, fine German automobile there. You know, it was an M3, okay. And then he sees the Rolex on my wrist.
Oh, shit.
And he didn't talk to me for almost 2-3 days. Like, really, we had no communication. That was my first Rolex. I never had money before, you know? Like, even though I worked at Priority and had things, it's different. Like, I had corporate money. I had, you know, I had expense account. We could eat cool places. I had no money in my real, like, I had no net worth, really. You know, I had no assets. It was just a different thing. That was my first taste of being around jewelry like that. And my cousin was already, you know, taking over his dad's business, my uncle's business, and he's making jewelry. And he's telling me, hey, man, why don't you bring some of these rappers over here and let's make some jewelry. I'll break you off. And I was like, nah, I don't know about all that, whatever. And we talk about it during family things. But my mom, I remember when I graduated high school, she bought me a herringbone. And it meant everything to me. You know, it's like a 4-5 millimeter herringbone. So it ain't very big. It's very small. But, you know, it was gold on my neck. It meant a lot to me. It was something I just never understood. In 2004, when I got my real money, well, when I became a millionaire for the first time in my life, free and clear, my cousin had broke down to me that he was buying gold. This is many years before you start saying, I'll buy gold. We buy gold, blah, blah. And he was breaking down to me like, hey, man, you know, you can make a lot of money if you just, you know, bring a couple sales here and there. And so.
Like referral business, because bring us clients.
Yeah. When we started the business, every Korean around my age or so understands their parents started businesses. Some of them never even had LLC. I know it sounds crazy, right? But they're like, they just, whether it be a liquor store, laundry business, whatever, they didn't understand how to write off things or whatever. I already knew when I did my taxes at, you know, at Priority Records, I was like, oh, my whole life is a write-off. Wait, I could write this car off? Oh man, I could write this off. Every meal I could write off. There was a meeting. Okay, boom. So I understood that. And I understood having a corporation because I had a management company in the music business. So I told my cousin, I was like, hey man, we can't do this the Korean way. We cannot do this on a handshake. Like, I got to have some kind of paperwork. And we got to move locations. Even if we're moving 5 booths, I just need to move locations so we all understand. And he's like, damn, this motherfucker, Ben, like, I'm family. You don't trust? Like, I was just like, no, because there was a lot of weird things going on with my mom and her brothers and sisters that there was money that's being owed and stuff. And I didn't want to have that come between my family, right? So we start this business. And I remember the first week, I had a couple just, you know, bring some sales in. It was like, you know, Travis Barker's homeboys, and they would come through. And I remember getting like $1,500 in my pocket. Now, even though I had a couple million in my bank account, it was a great thing to see $1,500 just cash, you know, so easily come in. It wasn't until I realized, all right, this is cool, but now I've changed the game every time I went somewhere. It's always taken me a year or two later than everyone else. So like, let's say for instance, when I'm in high school, my junior year, I became an excellent wide receiver and a defensive back. And I started became, you know, all city, all state, all league. And then my senior year, at that point, you know, you can have a great year, but you've already committed to what college you're going to go to by January. So I always felt like, I was like, yo, man, I feel like I'm a year behind. When I get to college, I feel like I'm a year behind in everything I love. And there's a clock, you know, by the time you're in Division II, you could be up to 27, but I mean, I'm already finishing school, so I can't play anymore. I'm not going to play pro. What do I do? So I'm like, all right, so now I'm in the streets. I'm in my technically second profession as an adult. And I'm like, all right, so I want to be a professional jeweler. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're a jeweler, or you're not, you know? And I'm like, look, bro, I don't want to be a salesman. I'm already a salesman, you know, that I could sell anything, you know? I'm not worried about that. How do I take it to the next level and create something? Let's create something. Let's change the game. Let's do something totally different. I want to be like Cartier. I don't want to buy Cartier anymore. I want to buy Ben Baller. I don't want to be the next Tiffany & Co. I want to be the first IF & Co. And there was just certain things that I was motion. I was like, you know, I have no time limit. You know, I just got to do this. And even though I feel like I became a millionaire late in life and I became a dad and husband late, you know, I stopped looking at time. You know, time is so important. And I just started saying, look, man, I got to go back in my bag now, and now I got to learn how to make jewelry. And then once I do that, I think because of my influence on the sneaker world and these things and how it affected pop culture, and when I left Nike, you know, left DJing and things, I still left a big impression on that world. And I had guys at Nike telling me, you know, no, look, there's no money in lifestyle. The money is in basketball, in soccer, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, is that why you guys did $8 billion after I left in Dunks and Air Force Ones and Jordans and all the retro shoes? No one cares about your new technology. I'm sorry to tell you guys this, right? Yes, I've been flown on the Nike jet and all this other stuff, but there was like no money there again. You know, it was like a thing. It was like a weird, and I was like, no, man. And people never understood why I accepted so many gifts, like rare shoes and things like that. I wasn't taxed on that. You know, again, sneakers are like they're currency for me. So, you know, when I was able to flip everything, it was so much of a greater profit margin. So with jewelry, once I understood that gold was the same price in Alaska, same price in New York, same price in Brazil, Australia, Korea, Russia, gold is universally the same price. And I started understanding about the euro and the dollar and the Canadian dollar. I was like, God damn, because I've already been to Canada a few times. And I'm like, okay, this is where it's at. So, you know, I started investing in gold, obviously, because I own a jewelry store. Why wouldn't I not? I would have to buy, you know, at least $2 million in gold chains to have an inventory. A lot of people worked on memo. And I was like, I don't want to work on memo. I don't want to work on consignment. I want to have my own inventory because that would obviously increase our net worth. So, you know, I just started building and flipping and everything. And then obviously I got into creating jewelry. And then I remember, I've never spoke about this ever. It just popped in my head right now. I made Fat Joe a chain. I told him, and he was a very, very influential person in hip hop. He had managed to still stay relevant when younger kids would rise up. This guy had been in the game so long, still had the best jewelry, had everything else. And I told him, I said, look, all that jewelry you have sucks. Let me make something nice for you. And the piece was beautiful, except it was an I-95 piece. You know, the Interstate I-95?
Yep, yep.
And New York to Miami, that was like the original like pipeline for all the drug dealers going from Miami back to New York. So I made this I-95 piece, and I've never said this publicly because I wouldn't admit it. My ego was too big. I fucked up on it. It became very famous, but people are like, yo, why does it look like Dr. Seuss made it? I had miscalculated the mold. So the numbers were elongated. They look a little silly. For some people are like, oh, you know, it's still a cool piece because overall it shined, but it was a bad piece. That was what I said, look, this is exactly what we're not going to do. We got an opportunity to make a piece for a big celebrity, a big rapper, and we fucked up. I looked at that as that was a spark. Then I got The Game, Nas, Mariah Carey, you know, Diddy, all these other people. And I was like, look, I can't mess these up. And then 2018, I put an appointment thing on the website. And I said, if you want to get a chain from Ben Baller, not just IF & Co., and you want the BB logo on the back of the chain, you need to give me $100,000. And with the $100,000, we don't take the 50% deposit. You got to give us 100% deposit, and it's non-refundable. You know, all these things that would be like red flags to people, right? 21 people immediately paid for $100,000 chains.
Damn.
And then I realized, damn, that's a lot of work. Now it's a lot of big chains, right? So.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
How long does it take you to make one?
Depending on what it is, you know, but a big chain, I mean, it could take me, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, you know, on average. And some chains like Kid Cudi's gigantic Takashi Murakami chain, that took like almost 4 months. You know, it's to the point where, you know, people look at my fingers like, why are your cuticles so messed up? And I'm like, I, you know, and during the pandemic, you know, there's no manicures, no pedicures, nothing. And I'm like, damn, I can't keep my cuticles suitable because, you know, I'm touching, you know, look, you know, acids and things like that and metal and stuff. It takes a long time, but I refunded 19 people out of the 21 their money. Waited till I finished those two pieces and then I changed it to 250,000. I said, if you want to get a chain from Ben Baller, it's 250 grand and I'm only making a chain once a month. Now I'm making maybe a chain every 3 months because what I'm doing is I'm partnering with Murakami and doing these global recognized huge museum type pieces.
Sure.
So if we're not getting museum type quality, if my jewelry is not worthy to be in the MoMA, to be in the MoCA, to even be in the Louvre, you know, I don't want to do it because at that point it's a waste of my time. I'm going to make money regardless. I will make money no matter what I do.
Yeah.
So let's do something bigger. And that's why I still have like 3-4 more collaborations with Murakami this year. And I work with Kaz and I'm just trying to do something different. You know, that I want to leave a legacy. You know, the money's already, I've done that already.
You know what you should make a chain for, though? You should make one for Elon Musk. Have you made one for him before?
So you don't know the story. You didn't Google it, right?
No, I didn't. Oh, sorry.
All right. So I respect the man. Totally, right? I own a Tesla and everything. So I have a meeting with Elon. One of my best friends, Paul, he's an entrepreneur. When I met him, he might have had like 10 grand to his name, which some people are like, oh, it's a lot more than other people. It's not a lot when you think about people that are investing and playing around with real estate and stocks and whatever. But when I met him, he was really young. He's like 20. I think, yeah, I was friends with him when he was 20, became 21, and now he's 29 maybe, or about to be 30. He's probably worth about maybe somewhere around 20 million now, right? And he had a $10,000 net worth when I met him. And he is heavy on, oh, Bill Gates this, and, you know, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. I'm like, bro, look, fuck all those guys, man. You know what I mean? I don't care about, like, bro, focus, you know, like be the next, you want to be, the first you, not the next them. I convinced him to buy a Tesla. He was already obsessed with Elon Musk. And so I decided to make a $35,000 Tesla ring. All red rubies, baguettes, is a beautiful ring. You could Google it and look at it. It was a really, really nice ring. And I'm doing something that is completely outside my character. And Paul goes, look, I'll pay for half the ring if you just try to reach out to him, because you have friends that are cool with them, from, you know, Jaden Smith to Tyler, the Creator, certain people that he follows that he likes. They know Elon. I'm like, all right, dog, I'm sure, you know, let's see, let's put it out there. So I'm like, hey, man, I made this ring. Boom. TMZ runs a story. It goes, you know, all over the internet. And Elon Musk is like, oh, he literally replied back with one word. Thank you. And I was like, this fucking dick, man. That's why I don't do this type of shit. You know what I mean? This is like, this ain't me. Anyways, his executive assistant reaches out to me. And she's like, he has an opening on this day. Boom, cool. So I'm like, you know what? Let's make like a little, I'm not really a vlogger or like those type of things. I didn't have a podcast at the time either. I was like, you know what? Let's document this though. Let's drive the Tesla. I had it all murdered out. Model X, P100D, the top of the line, their flagship car, all done up. Everything is, you know, not a lot of Teslas were customized at that time. Everything possible. I said, yo, bro, we can stop in Santa Barbara. We can stop here in Half Moon Bay, and then we'll get to Silicon Valley. We'll drive there. And, I was hoping he'd meet us at SpaceX because it's so close. And they're like, yeah, no, you need security clearance, you know, blah, blah, whatever. So we have this date set and everything. Boom, we're ready to go. My boy is excited. He has a plane ticket from DC. He lives in Virginia. He's going to come to see me. So it's April 1st, right? April Fool's Day. How crazy is that, right? Or it's March 30th, 31st, whatever, before it goes into April Fool's Day. My wife's birthday is on April 2nd. It was a weekend, so she's having a birthday party. Her and her brother share the birthday because they're born 2 days apart. So I get in the Tesla. I'm driving to my wife's birthday party. I stop at the stop sign and I notice my door doesn't open. And I'm like, ah, no big deal, you know, whatever. Now I notice the window doesn't open. Now I'm like, okay, am I tripping? No, I'm tripping, right? Then I keep hearing a doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. It's like the error sound from the Teslas. If you've ever been on a Tesla before, can't open the door. So now I pull over and I'm like, hey man, I give it maybe 70% strength and I push the door as hard as I can, give it, open the door. Doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. Go to the other side. Nothing. So I'm like, all right, man, you know, let me just chill the hell. Let me just chill out. Let me turn the AC on. I have a good amount of battery, not a ton, but let's just figure this out. I start recording myself on Snapchat in real time. 47 minutes later, I still can't get out of my car. 47 minutes. I'm banging all the windows. Now I'm kicking at 150%, trying to smash the window, open all the doors, boom, whatever. Can't get out. Didn't know. Not a Tesla fanboy, but I didn't know that there was a button that you can reach, or like a lever you can reach. You got to remove the speaker in the back seat and you can get like emergency. Now, the thing is, I have three baby seats across my second row. I can't really get back there, you know. Finally, obviously, I get out of the car and I'm not really thinking too much about whatever. I make a complaint to Tesla. Tesla picks up the car immediately, like really, really fast. On Monday morning, I get a call or I get an email from Elon's executive assistant saying, hey, he's going to have to cancel your meeting, you know, blah, blah, whatever, which is coming up like in a week. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what are you talking about? He goes, man, dude, why would you like document that? You know, there's so many Tesla haters out there, blah, blah. Elon's upset. He can't meet you and whatever. So I was like livid. I was super livid. So I did something completely out of character. I took the screenshot of the email and I posted on my Instagram, you know, and she ended up getting fired. All these Tesla employees I never knew that were executives started messaging me. Hey, bro, could you please take that post down? You know, it's a da da da. I was like, no, fuck all that, man, bro. Like, if anything, this dude should have been cool and been like, look, man, let's work on something. How to, you know, what if these situations happen? And all these Tesla hater pages start hitting me up like, hey, man, I know this. I was like, bro, I don't want to hear this shit. That's not what I'm about. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm not trying to get clout off of this. I'm just was trying to bring awareness. I got three kids. What if they were locked in the car? And he didn't like that. He was really pissed off. So that was the end of that. So I end up giving the ring to my boy, Paul, who still wears it. He's like, one day, Ben, you got to be cool with this guy, man. We give him the ring. And so it's the funny story about Elon. I doubt I'll be making him a chain.
Oh man, you've lived such a storied life. It's super cool, and it's all completely of your own making, you know, of your own will. Like, that's what I think is so special about it. Like, you willed your success. Like, you willed the money you wanted to make. Even just now, you're like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I know I make money. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And you're completely okay kind of resting on your own internal confidence.
That, yeah. You know, and I watched this Korean movie. And in the Korean movie, the guy said, hey, man, those trying to win and trying to figure out every single way to get successful, they're the ones that are going to lose. The skeptics, they're going to lose. Those who know how to win will win. And I was like, well, just that simple. Those who know how to win will win. And I just feel like you said I willed it. I really do believe I manifested my destiny. You know, I really do feel like I manifested a lot of things, you know, and maybe because I never had aspirations to become a billionaire, you know, maybe that's, you know, I don't know. I gave up on that. I was like, man, bro, I've tried to do all the calculations. This is what I got to do, this, this, and this. And, you know, you do those numbers. If you sell 5,000, 10,000 things, this is how you become a billion. And I was like, bro, it's after you have to be like a Spanx type of thing where it's a fluke and it just happens, or just, you know, I'm content, man. I'm good. You know, Bitcoin did me well.
How much in dollar amount jewelry do you think you've sold in your career? That's just a number I wanted to ask you.
Damn.
Like, people ask me all the time, like, oh, how much real estate have you sold? It's like the question I get 17 times a day.
Oh, yeah. No, nowhere near what you've done. I mean, I saw you sold a $150 million house dealer or whatever it was. Tell you the truth, I don't know, man. I swear to God, I really don't. I mean, what the corporation has done, I don't think it's that impressive, though. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we did like $25 million a couple years in a row, you know, which is, again, our overhead is low.
A lot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's, I mean, because, you know, when you sell a $100 million house, you know, I feel like, well, you know, again.
Yeah, but you're talking about, we're talking about revenue. Gross sales in real estate is not comparable to gross revenue in jewelry.
Okay,
sales.
That's true too. I'm sorry. Our margins are massive, right? I think people kind of know that. So yeah. You know, we did, I mean, we haven't dipped below eight figures, but at the same time, you know, we're paying employees better. You know, I mean, even, you know, people who are doing the general like repairs and things like that, they're making at least six figures in our corporation. You know, it's just certain things, you know, we've taken care of everyone that's been with us.
My last question for you is, when we asked you to do this podcast and you saw the title was Big Money Energy, what did you think? What's Big Money Energy mean to you?
You know, look, and don't take this the wrong way. I don't want you to think like, I wasn't exactly sure. You know, my podcast producers are like, hey man, this dude's a big hotshot, you know, dude, he's, and I was like, hot shot. Okay, let me go to his page and I'll tell you. Let me just go look at his page real quick. And I go to the page and I'm like, yo, dude, this guy right here is way too handsome. Who is this, a bachelor? And I was like, bro, like, what? Who is this guy? And he's like, dude, you don't watch Million Dollar Listing? You know, you watch this, whatever, boom. And I said, look, dog, you know who watches all those shows? Bachelor, all that stuff? My wife. Babe, you know this guy? And she goes, oh yeah, I know that guy from New York. And I was like, okay. All right, I got to do this show because it'd be cool for my wife. And I saw the name and I looked at the thing. It's like, you know, Big Money Energy. So, you know, one, I like that. Big Money Energy, you know what that means, man? That means motivation. Go out there and don't come out there and be like, yo, Ryan, today, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do today, Doug? We're going to make $7,000. Get the fuck out of here. We're not making, what are you talking about? We're going to make $7,000 million. That's what we're going to do. You know what I mean? You got to put it out there and you got to manifest it. Like, really, truly believe, like, another slogan I say is make it a great day. You have a choice to make it a great day, right? You got to go out there and be like, look, I'm not going to let that flat tire on my car. Don't sweat that. That's nothing. That's just haters trying to slow me down. That's an obstacle. I'm about to jump off that, you know, boom, jump over it. Look, Big Money Energy. It was something that was another thing that was a positive for this interview. I was like, look, I love that name. And, you know, energy is an important thing. You could see someone's energy when they have something, you know, they're in that bad mood. You just see like that force field around them. You'd be like, yo, dog, I don't want to be anywhere around that person, right? When I'm in a bad mood, it could be the stupidest thing. Like, I don't think they gave me enough boba in my milk tea and be like, yo, man, get Ben out of here, man. He trips on the most pettiest things. He lost $800,000 today and he doesn't even care. Like the small things he cares about. When I think about Big Money Energy, I think like, all right, this dude, Ryan, he's got nothing but Big Money Energy. He's not trying to sell, I mean, you know, a $200,000 house or $1 million. He's trying to sell he's trying to break the record. He's going to sell a $500 million estate, you know, and boom. And it's like that energy. You see that? And it's like, all right, don't be scared. Gravitate towards it. That energy, man, that Big Money Energy. You know, you want to go in there and be a part of that because that attitude, And that, you know, it becomes a part of you, almost like an aura, right? You're like, all right, man, you know, today's the day we're going to make $1 billion. That's what I take from it.
Let's go. Big Money Energy is hosted by me, Ryan Serhant. It's produced by Mike Coscarelli and Joe Laresca, and executive produced by Lindsay Hoffman. Find more podcasts like Big Money Energy on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.